Well, today is the third week of our series called What on Earth Am I Here For? And if you've been with us over the last several weeks, we're talking about five purposes that God has for your life and for my life. And this is more than like the particular things of what we're supposed to be when we grow up and things like that. We're talking about the large rocks, the big rocks that God wants us to do with our life. With all the time that we have on this earth, what does God want us to do? In the first week, if you were here, we talked about our first purpose is to worship God. We're made to worship God. In fact, God created you so that he could love you. That's one of the reasons. There's a couple people in here wearing shirts that say people matter. We gave those out in the first week. People matter. And the reason they're wearing those shirts and the reason we gave those out is to remind us that people matter to God. God created you so that he could love you. God loved you even before he created you, and God has a plan for your life. In fact, the first purpose for your life is to love God in return, and that's what worship is all about. And then the second purpose, last week we talked about our second purpose is to have fellowship with other believers. See, you're not made to do life alone. You're not made to do faith alone. And we use the example, I said, you can't do life alone. And I use the example of, you know, maybe brushing your teeth with gasoline. Some of you say, well, yes, I can. I can do that. When I say, you can't brush your teeth with gasoline. Yes, I can. Well, technically, you can do life alone. Technically, you can do life alone, but it's not good for you. And God doesn't want that for your life, because God wants you to be connected with relationships in the church, a place to serve and a place to be known and a place to belong. And so to kick off this third week, to help you to kind of understand this a little bit better, we've got we've got Marvin Davis up here. He's going to help us with a little sermon illustration. Sorry we put you so far over here, Marvin. It's just because the keyboard's here. So we're not embarrassed by Marvin. Marvin, I tell him every Sunday, if anything happens to me, you're second in command. So be ready. So just so y'all know who's going to be the preacher next time.
Yeah, short service.
That's right. Well, Marvin is on our breakdown team. And he's not like a dancer. I don't mean like that. But I mean, everything is set up. This cafeteria and this whole church is turned from a cafeteria and from a school into a church every Sunday. But everything has to be taken back and put in its place. And Marvin and Marta, his wife, have been faithfully serving in our breakdown team. He doesn't have to dance. You don't dance when you do it, right? Okay, all right, just want to make sure. Well, anyway, he's on our breakdown team. I just want to let you know kind of why you see what you see and how this whole thing happens. Marvin's a big part of that. Well, Marvin, I want to ask you, what's your favorite food to eat? What do you like to eat?
Whatever my wife cooks.
Smart. Well, what's your favorite thing your wife cooks?
Enchiladas.
Enchiladas? Okay. Well, I don't have enchiladas, but I do have some Cheerios. How does that sound?
Great.
obviously not as good as enchiladas, but you know, it's the morning time still, right? So let me pour you some Cheerios here. And here's the thing with these Cheerios and everything. Here's the thing. What I'm going to do is, this is kind of funny for me, but I'm going to actually feed Marvin some Cheerios. Are y'all okay with that? It's going to be a little awkward, but, you know, let's just go with it, okay? All right, Marvin, are you okay with that? Are you ready? ready or not? All right. Chugga, 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 chugga. No, I'm just playing. That's what we do with our son, Peyton. So figure, all right, here we go. Let's do it for real. All right, here you go, Marvin. Here's some Cheerios. All right, good job, Marvin. All right, well, I'll wait till you chew it up first. I didn't give him a lot. How did you like that? How was that?
A little dry.
A little dry. How was that me feeding you? Was that good?
Weird.
It was, well, it's a little weird for me too, you know. It's kind of weird to see a grown man feeding another grown man. So this time, well, I guess, Marvin, how long have you been feeding yourself? How many years have you been feeding yourself?
60-something.
Yeah, so he's been feeding himself for a long time. So why don't you just, I kind of demonstrated for you, so why don't you take the bowl and kind of do that for yourself. I can grab your mic from you. All right, give him a hand. Way to go, Marvin. Way to go. All right, you can go back and sit down. Good job, man. You can take them, yeah, for a little worship snack and everything. Well, good job on that. Well, here's why we did that. It's kind of funny to see a grown man feeding a grown man. And here's why we start off like that. It's because you are not fully the person God planned for you to be. You are not fully the person God planned for you to be. Just like it's funny to see a grown man feeding a grown man, it's not that weird to see somebody feeding an infant, somebody feeding a baby, because babies are cute and they're sweet, but they need assistance with everything. But it's weird to see a grown man feeding a grown man. Why? Because by the time he's grown up, he should have grown up and matured enough that he can feed himself. And we're glad that Marvin can do that. Good job on that. But it's one of those things where just as it's kind of weird to see that biologically you got to grow up in order to feed yourself. It's the same thing for our faith. God wants us to grow up in the faith, to not continue to be babies in the faith, but to continue to grow up and to mature and to become more and more like Jesus. One of the things I love that we've seen so much here at the Fountain is we've seen several people commit their lives to follow Christ for the very first time here in this ministry. And that's so awesome. We celebrate that. You probably have seen several people baptized while here at the Fountain, and that's awesome. And I love talking with brand new Christians about their faith. They are so on fire and excited, and they're still amazed by grace. You know that song, Amazing Grace, or the way we sing it, This is Amazing Grace. But anyway, they're still amazed by grace. It's one of those things where we've been you're in church long enough and you start singing about grace, and all of a sudden, I don't know about for you, but at least for me, sometimes it becomes numb, where it's like, yeah, we got grace. But people who have just given their life to Christ, they're like, grace is awesome. Grace changed my life. And they're so excited about going out and sharing their faith and their faith story with what God is doing in their life. And I love that. But accepting God's grace and committing your life to Christ is just the first step in your journey with Christ. It's just the very first step. And so after you accept Christ, God wants to spend the rest of your life growing you and maturing you into the person God wants you to be. And so we're so excited when new people come to the faith, and that's a great thing. But God doesn't want us to stay like that. God doesn't want us to remain in spiritual diapers, per se. God wants to help grow us up in the faith so that we can become mature and strong followers of Him. You know, over the course of your life, God does that. He wants to mature you. In fact, it says this in 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's what it says. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory now and forever. Amen. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to tell you something right now that may seem crazy. It may seem impossible when you look at your life, but here's what I want to tell you. God wants you to grow up to be like Jesus. God wants you to grow up to be like Jesus. Not Moses, not Billy Graham, not that person in the faith that you've always looked up to. God wants to grow you up in the faith to be like Him, to be like Jesus. And you may hear that and say, I don't know about that. Do you see my life? Do you know where my story? There's no way that God can make me like Jesus. Here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to grow a beard, and it doesn't mean you're supposed to put lambs over top of your shoulders and carry them around all the time. You know, have you seen those pictures of Jesus before where He's doing that? It doesn't mean like that. Well, here's what I mean. God wants you to take on the characteristics of Jesus in your everyday life. God wants to help you to love the way Jesus loves. It's hard to fathom that, but you can do it with God's help. God wants to give you the peace and the joy that He has. God wants to give you the heart for people that Jesus has, and the thirst for a growing connection to God the Father. God wants to give you self-control, the fruits of the Spirit, basically, in Galatians chapter 5. He wants to give you all these things and wants you to take on these characteristics. And it happens over the course of your life. It happens over time. And so God, we don't have to do this on our own. In fact, you can't do that on your own. You can't say, okay, well, now I'm going to become like Jesus right now. God does that. God does that work in you through His grace. In fact, God wants to do it in and through you over the course of your entire life. It's a lifelong journey. And so what I want to do today is we're going to look in Philippians, the New Testament, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's a little bit after the Gospels. But anyway, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing this. And he writes this letter to the church in Philippi. And what I want to bring out of this is really three things, three big rocks that God uses to grow your faith and to mature you to become like Jesus. And so this is going to help you to understand, here's how God does this, and here's our part as well. And so you have to understand, when Paul is writing this, he's just talked about how he has no confidence in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? He's just said, Paul had this story. His name used to be Saul. He used to be one of the biggest persecutors of Christianity. He hated people who followed Jesus. And God kind of got his attention, and he turned his life around. And all of a sudden, Paul turned his name to Paul, and he became one of the greatest proclaimers of the good news about who Jesus is. Talk about what Jesus can do in somebody's life, going from killing Christians to now being the one that said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And that's what happened to Paul. And he was a very smart guy. He had a lot of religious things that he could hold up as a plaque and say, look at who I am. People looked up to him. But instead of holding up that plaque, he holds that up and he starts talking about all these things. And he says, all this stuff is nothing. It's garbage. It's rubbish compared to knowing Christ. And here's what he says about the things that God uses to grow your faith. It says this, Philippians chapter 3, the beginning of verse 10. He writes this, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Now we're going to kind of go through this in chunks because all in verse 10, there's these three things. And so let's just stop right there. I want to know Christ. Growing to become like Christ starts with this desire in us to want to know Christ. To know Christ, to be close to God, close to Christ, just like we sang about. I want to be close. That's where it starts. But here's the thing. Sometimes in the Christian life, I think there's this phenomenon where after we come into the faith, after we get saved, as some people call it, or commit your life to Christ, sometimes we just stop growing. Or we stop pursuing Jesus, the same Jesus that pursued us. You know, and sometimes it's easy to become content with where you are or with who you are, or sometimes numb to the grace that's been offered to you and suddenly think that your journey with Christ is over. In fact, when I was a senior in high school, I felt I was growing so much in my faith, so much. And I got to this place where I felt like, God, I'm as close to you as I feel like I'm ever going to be. That was an awesome place to be in. But then on the other side, I started thinking, well, what's next for me? I mean, have I reached the end of the entire Christian journey? Is this it? And God showed me something that's amazing about faith and your faith and my faith, is that just knowing Jesus and coming into faith with Jesus is just the beginning. It's not the end. God wanted to grow me and grow all of us in the faith to become more and more like him, and it's a lifelong journey. And it got me excited to realize, God, you're not done with me yet. You're still working on me. You are still painting the picture, or as a potter forms the clay, you're still shaping me into that person you want me to be, because God, you want to complete me. You want to make me like you. And so God doesn't want us to sit in a lazy boy chair. Anybody ever seen a lazy boy recliner? Anybody watch a ball game in any of those? Those are awesome. They're comfortable. They're a great place to sit. It's awesome to just take a rest. But God doesn't want us in our faith to be laying down on a lazy boy chair with a ticket to heaven, waiting on that day when we cash it in and say, here I am, God. God wants to grow you up and mature you in the faith. And so it's one of those things where if we're not careful, our Christian walk can start to look more like a rest stop. You know, in the Bible, there's all these different terminologies for our the Christian faith. And sometimes it's talking about a walk of faith. Sometimes it's running the race. And there's all this like moving and athletic imagery. And the purpose is God doesn't want us to just stop where we are and say, well, that's good. I'm good, God. God wants us to continue growing to become more and more like him. And so after God saves you, he wants to grow you and change your life. And that's the great thing about grace. In fact, if you're taking notes, here's a great, I think this is a great bottom line for us about grace. God's grace doesn't just save you. Grace also changes you. God's grace doesn't just save you. God's grace also changes you. You know, that when you accept Jesus into your heart, when you say, God, I want to follow you. At that moment, God no longer sees you as a sinner anymore, but God sees you as someone. You go from being a sinner to a saint, and God looks at you, and when the Father sees you, he sees his son Jesus. But it's not just a substitutionary deal where God just says, okay, now I see Jesus. I'm imagining you're like Jesus. Over the course of your life, God wants to actually grow you to become more and more, to actually have a different kind of life, to change your life so you look more like him. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, here's what Paul continues. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. So what's that all about? I don't know about you, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know that kind of power in my life. And it's not just when you die when you experience that. That's the great news. Resurrection begins now. Resurrection begins now. In fact, it's one of those things where if you were here this past Easter, I preached a message you're welcome to go back and listen to online about this, about the resurrection. And the resurrection, it impacts your past, but God also brings resurrection to your present and to your future. It's not something you wait on and we sit on our comfy couch until the sweet by and by. God brings resurrection to your past. anything that you've done, God can resurrect that. God can give you new life. God can bring resurrection to your present and to your future. And resurrect anything that may seem dead or weird in your life, God can change you and shape you by his grace. I want you to imagine, maybe you've gone to the gym before and you've seen these really buff guys working out at the gym. And usually, you know, you kind of catch guys doing this. After they're lifting weights, they go over to the water fountain. But what they're really doing is they're kind of checking out their muscles in the mirror. They're kind of doing a little flex thing. I used to do that back when I worked out. But it's one of those things where suppose you're talking to somebody and they say to you, you know, I've been going to the gym for like 2 months, but I'm not seeing any positive changes in my life because of it. I'm not seeing any positive changes. And you say, well, tell me about your routine. And this person looks at you and says, well, okay, well, I drive to the gym, I put on my workout clothes, and I walk down the floor, I go to where all the equipment is, and I start talking to all these personal trainers. They're such good friends of mine. I know every single one of them. In fact, I am learning so much about working out. They've taught me everything about running and everything you could know about lifting weights, and you would just love them. They are awesome. And then I go down to the cafe, and I grab a smoothie, and I drink my smoothie, and it's awesome. There are great people in there, too. And then I grab my towel, and I get changed for the day, and I drive away. And you say, well, you're not going to see any positive changes in your life if you're not actually using the equipment. You've got to actually run on the treadmill if you want to see any difference in your life. You've got to actually lift a little bit of weights if you want to see an impact. And it's the same thing with our faith. And so what is this like? What, you know, this training illustration, we understand that with sports. We understand that in music. We understand that in things. You've got to train to be better and better and better in what you do. And it's the same thing in our faith. See, God does most of the work, but we also have our part as well, that we can train ourselves up to become more like Christ with God's help. And the way God does that is through the spiritual disciplines, or as John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, called the means of grace. These are the ways that God imparts grace to you, ways God reaches out to you. And so things like reading the Bible, that's a way that we can grow. That we do our part in reading the Word, and God can shape our life. But here's the thing. I found that you can read this Word, you can read the Word of God, and you can know so much about God and who God is, and, you know, it's kind of like talking to the trainer. I know so much about who God is. I know everything you could know about the Christian faith. But if you don't apply it to your life, you're not going to see the results of what God does in your life. So God wants us to read the Word, but also apply it to our lives. Another means of grace or spiritual discipline is talking to God through prayer. That's a great way to grow in your faith, that we can talk to God daily. Another thing is come to worship regularly. And those are all sorts of things that you can do. There's other things you can do as well, but those are kind of the main things. Rick Warren once said that daily Bible reading will keep you in range of God's voice. Daily Bible reading will keep you in range of God's voice. So you can better discern what God is telling you, and you can better hear what God wants you to do in your life. That's why we read the Word of God. In order to become more like Christ, you've got to know who Christ is, and you've got to know who you're trying to emulate. And the best way to do that is in the Bible. Now, some of you may have seen the funny movie, Talladega Nights. Some of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand. It's not a great movie, but there's a funny line, there's a funny scene in Talladega Nights. Ricky Bobby is a race car driver, and it is off the wall, and it's funny. But anyway, there's this funny scene where him and his family are sitting around at the kitchen table or dining room table of their house. And they say, well, somebody's got to say grace. And so Ricky Bobby bows his head, and it is raw, and it's funny. And they start talking, they start praying to Jesus. But he says, I don't like to think of Jesus like an adult. I like to think of baby Jesus. I pray to little baby Jesus. And so his little son says, well, I like to think of Jesus like a ninja fighting a samurai. And, you know, and they're telling all this, well, my Jesus is like this, or my Jesus wears a tuxedo. And they all have different versions of Jesus. And so Ricky Bobby continues praying, and he says, dear, sweet, 8 pounds, 6 ounce, newborn, infant, baby Jesus with a golden diaper. And he starts praying, and it's like he's making up this image of the God, of the Jesus he wants to follow. And here's the funny thing about that. So many people do. We do that so many times in our lives. And God says we don't get to determine the kind of Jesus we follow. We, in order to follow the real Jesus, the one who was raised from the grave, we need to get in the Word and know who He is. Not just sing songs about God, but to know who Jesus really is so that we can better know who we're trying to emulate in our life with God's help. And so one of the best ways to do that is to have a quiet time or devotional time. Many of you probably do that. But where you spend time seeking who God is and where you spend focused time alone with God. And it may be 5 minutes before you start the day or as you're ending the day. It could be 10 minutes. It could be 30 minutes. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to do that because it's going to help your life where you spend time with God. You know, maybe you read the Bible for a little bit and you say, after you read the Bible, you say, well, God, what are you trying to say to me? God, here's what I have planned for the day. What do you want me to do today? And you kind of have this conversation with God. And one of the things that I found that's really helpful is to go somewhere, go maybe even to the same place every day. Go somewhere where you can be alone. Go somewhere you can be alone so you can, when you pray, you can actually talk out loud to God. I don't know about you, but when I pray and I'm not talking out loud and I close my eyes, I fall asleep. So a practical way to help you in your abiding with Christ is to go somewhere where you can be alone with God. For some people, it may be your car. For some people, it may be that lazy boy in your house. No matter where it is, find somewhere you can be alone with God and talk with Him. And here's the thing. When you pray, God doesn't judge your words. God's not going to judge your words, and you don't have to use thee and thou and all sorts of things like that. But God wants to hear from you, and He wants to talk to you. And so that's one of the ways that God can grow your faith and become more like Christ in the spiritual disciplines. Reading the Word, praying to God, and coming to worship regularly. Then here's what Philippians chapter 3, Paul adds here in verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings. Now hold on a minute. I was good with the whole resurrection. Bring that, Jesus. But what about sufferings? See, nobody in their life likes to go through trials or troubles or temptations. We don't like to go through that in our life. We don't like to face that. But God can use all of that to grow your faith. Every single thing you go through. In fact, nothing in your life is wasteful to God. Everything you go through, God can use it to grow you in the faith. And it doesn't mean God causes everything to happen in your life. But God can use everything for good. To build up your faith. God can use it to build up your faith. And it's because when troubles come in our lives and we turn to God, God teaches us to trust Him more. You know, there's so many times I've said this several times, but so many times in our life, when there's a gap of uncertainty in our life, it's an opportunity for us to step forward in faith and to see how God will be faithful. And as we take small steps every single day, as we step forward in faith and God is faithful, God teaches us, you can trust me. You can trust me. And over the course of your life, you start to realize nothing's impossible for God. God, you end up being this strong tree that's grown up in God. And so God wants to do that in your faith. In fact, Rick Warren said, God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. God is more concerned with your character than your comfort. Now that kind of seems funny. So God, you're saying you're going to allow me to go through things that are uncomfortable in my life? Or you're going to call me to some things that I don't like to face? Yeah. It's because God is more invested in shaping your character and making you more and more like Him. Because this life is preparation for eternity. God wants to do that in your life so that you can grow to become like Him. If you've been to the beach, you've seen palm trees before. In fact, when I see a palm tree, I get pumped up because that means relaxation time at the beach. You know, you can just kind of imagine that. It's getting a little cooler now, so I don't know if the beach is a great place to go now. But a palm tree is a really strong tree. When a storm hits or when a hurricane hits, it's not a wimpy tree. In fact, it's one of the strongest trees in a hurricane. And, you know, it's because they don't easily get uprooted because when the wind seems to come against these palm trees, they have this flexible trunk that actually bends and sways with the wind. It's not stuck. It bends and sways in the wind. And so it's made to be tested. And so while other trees are getting broken off or while other trees are getting uprooted, palm trees are made stronger because they've been tested by the wind. They've been tested. See, God can grow and strengthen your faith and my faith through our sufferings, through the things that we face, through the things that we face. So as we've gone through things in our life, God uses that to grow us and to strengthen us. You know, and here's what Paul continues. He says this in the end of verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Then he says this, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I start to get a little bit creeped out. What are you saying? Be like Jesus in his death. It doesn't mean you're going to be asked to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Jesus has already done that. We don't need another Savior. But what it means is for most of us, is figuratively, it means that you're going to, that God wants you to die to your old self, to put aside your old ways, to put aside your old sins and your old behaviors and your old desires, and to put on the new life that's been being transformed in Christ. And so you put all that to the side, and it's almost like the Apostle Paul in one passage says, take off this and take off this and put on this. One of the best ways to go through temptation, to make it through temptation, is to take those things off, but also to put on something of God. God allows us, when we do that, God uses that to grow our faith. And so it means dying to our old self so that Christ can live through you. You know, Jesus was the best model for this. Right before he's about to go to the cross, he goes and he prays at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's spending time alone with the Father. And he prays something that's really interesting, and it's a moment of extreme vulnerability. He says in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, he says this, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. And it's this time where he's saying, look, I don't want to have to die for the sins of the world. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. It's going to probably hurt you, I know, more than it hurts me, but I'm scared to do this. I don't want to do this, Jesus. Or I don't want to do this, God. But Jesus then continues, and he says this, yet not my will, but yours be done. I don't want to do this, but not your will, or not my will, but yours be done. And that's what I think it means to die to ourselves, to let Christ live. To live a life where we say in every circumstance, here's what I want to do, God, but not my will, but yours be done. I want to live my life the way you want me to live. I want to do things the way you want to do, because God, I know your plans are bigger than my plans. You know, sometimes God does things in our life. God calls us to things that we don't even imagine, or we want to do certain things, and God says, well, I'm calling you to this instead. And God might be protecting us for something. Or sometimes God is doing something to say, no, I've got an even better plan than you ever could imagine. I'm calling you here. And so to be able to say, not my will, but yours be done. And so that's what maturity is all about. And then it says this in verse 12 through 14 as we close up. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. Not that I have already obtained this. In other words, he's pretty mature in the faith, but he's like, I'm not there yet. Or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, check out what he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. You see the athletic imagery here. He says this, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What is he saying here? He's saying it's a process. It's a process. In fact, it's going to take your whole life. God's going to use your whole life to grow you up to become more like him. And notice he doesn't talk about it being a really short sprint where it happens really quickly. There's athletic imagery that also says it's more like a marathon. It's a race, and it takes the course of your life. See, God's not finished working on you yet, no matter where you are in the journey, and that should be good news. In fact, when God wants to grow a mushroom, he takes 6 hours. But when God wants to grow a strong oak tree, he takes 60 years. And I don't know about you, but I through the testing of my faith, through different things in my life, I want to be like that oak tree in the faith, strong and secure. I want God to grow me, and I want God to grow you over the course of your entire life as you take one step with Jesus. We don't have to take huge leaps overnight. Just take your next step. Every single day, take your next step. And as you look over the course of your life, you realize, wow, look at what God has taken me and what God has done in my life. And so he's saying, look, don't become content admiring the rearview mirror of your past. Don't keep looking at the rearview mirror of the past. Jesus, remember that time I went on a mission trip 10 years ago? That was awesome. I loved that time with you. or relying on things that we've done and the connection we've done with God in the past. But he's saying, strain ahead. Look at the windshield of your future and what God wants to do in and through you today. Because God's grace doesn't just save you. Grace also changes you. And so maybe I got some next steps for you if you're ready. We got a couple next steps that I think would be helpful for you. Number one, maybe your next step today is, we talked about one of the things God does to grow your faith is through the spiritual disciplines. Maybe your next step today, if you're not already doing some kind of daily devotional time, is to maybe take 10 minutes of your time, carve out some time to be alone with God, to read his word and to pray to God. Maybe even to join us in this 40-day journey with What on Earth Am I Here For? That's a great way to start. You can read that with us as a church. But maybe that'd be your next step. Or maybe some of you are going through some kind of trouble or trial or temptation. In fact, if you're not going through that, we all will at some point. So maybe your next step, if you're in the middle of something like that, then maybe your next step is to choose to trust God in the middle of that. Instead of backing away in fear, and to choose to trust God in the middle of what you're facing and to press forward into what God wants to do in and through you. Maybe that's your next step. But for some of us in here, then maybe your next step is to step forward and to cross over the line into faith, to enter into a relationship with Jesus. And so I pray that for all of us, everybody's got a next step to take with Jesus. One step at a time, we become more like him. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer today, I want to challenge us to take that step, to take whatever that step is that God is leading you toward. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for your grace, the grace that not only saves us, but your grace that also changes us. And God, I thank you that you're not finished working on us yet. That thank you that you save us and you sins, and you allow us to be with you. If we have a relationship with you, we get to be with you forever in heaven. But God, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us now, that you want to change our lives now. And so God, I pray that you would allow us to take our next step, whatever that may be. God, I pray for any of us who are going through some kind of trial or temptation or trouble in our lives. God, I pray that you would give us the courage to trust you in the middle of that. And God, for any of us who has maybe not stepped over the line, and today is that day, maybe you're saying, I want to step over the line. I want to start following Jesus, start that relationship. Maybe you'd pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I need you. And God, with all the course of my life, I've been looking at the rearview mirror for a long time. But I want you to come into my life and save me of my sins. Save me of everything I've done in the past, everything I'm doing in the present, and everything I'm doing in the future. And I want to start following you. I want to turn from my way of living to your way of living. And I want to say, God, with everything that I can, I want to start following your ways. Help me to say in my life, not my will, but yours be done. And God, with everything that we all have, God, I pray that you would allow us to take a step, to grow in our faith, and to know that it's a lifelong journey, that you want to make us more and more like Jesus, to give us the kind of life that Jesus has. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.